Proverbs 31, God's ideal woman. And I think I'll stay in the pulpit mic, Brother Jeff. God's ideal woman. Now, you look at verse 1, the sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle or prophecy, his mother taught him. Now, this is what a mother taught her son who was a king. And that's pretty good stuff. After all, what's mom going to tell her son when he's the top dog in a nation? That's important. It's an interesting thing that he took instruction from his mother. When she gave it to him, I don't know. His mother taught him this. How old was he? I don't know. Maybe he was a teenager. Maybe it was before he became the king. But one thing, he remembered it. And another thing, the Holy Ghost thought it was important enough for us to have it today, 1991 in Omaha. So we just leave it right there. Now, I want to say one thing before we begin. That is, please turn to the basis of this chapter, the foundation of it, which is found in verse 30. Please look at the end of this chapter. We're going to try and do the whole chapter. Hold your breath. Put on your seatbelts. Crank your mind up. Wonderful. Verse 30. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears and reveres and loves the Lord Jesus is to be praised. This is the foundation of this chapter. This is not just a soliloquy on what a nice lady might be. This whole chapter is based on this kind of a woman. And ladies, in days of fat checks and thin thighs, let's remember, this is what it's all about. Man, let's remember, the skin will wrinkle and the complexion will crinkle, but this is what it's all about. You say, well, she's going to get a facelift. And so when you're done, you'll have a 42-year-old face and a 65-year-old neck. That's what it's going to look like. So you can't escape it. Don't try. This is what it's all about. Charm is deceptive. She took all the charm courses at Harvard. That type of thing. I'm for manners. Charming. You know, one of the charming people. Beautiful. It can be deceptive. What's underneath the charm? A Christian love for God and the Son. Beauty is fleeting. I mean, all forms of beauty. There's some beautiful women on the face of this earth. And when you see beautiful women, all beauty is a reflection of what God has created. But he goes deeper than that. He says, okay, now get underneath the skin. Charm, okay, that can be deceptive. Beauty, age will get it. There are only a few people in the Bible that call really beautiful. Sarah was beautiful. And the Bible says Absalom was handsome. And God says he's handsome. He was handsome. He says there was not one blemish in his whole being. People look at it and say, wow. But he turned out to be a rascal. A total rascal. That's why it's deceptive. But a woman that loves Christ has repented of her own way and her own conniving, her own independence, her own I can handle it, or my own craving dependence. She's found the Lord Jesus and she's found the source of true beauty and true life. And let us as men recognize this in a day of Playboy and all the kinds of sex pots that are thrown at us on television. This is the basis of this chapter. And I've got to believe in that Lemuel's mother, she knew the Lord Jesus by prophetic faith and knew God by heart faith, or she couldn't have written this stuff. Let's see what Mom has to say, shall we? Chapter 31, Proverbs. The sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle or a prophecy his mother taught him, and she begins right away. Oh, my son, oh, son of my womb. And men, we don't understand that mystery of a woman carrying a child in her womb and all that goes on chemically and psychologically and even spiritually. And that closeness that a mom has with a child. I mean, we don't understand that. God didn't wire us for that, obviously. But we appreciate it. And this is a mother saying, oh, I love you so much, my son. Let me tell you about some things that are absolutely essential in life. Oh, my son, oh, son of my womb, oh, son of my vows, which also can be translated, oh, son of answers to my prayers. And it may have been that yet Lemuel's mother didn't have any children, and she had to cry out to God for children. And this is the mystery. You'll find all through the book of Genesis that Sarah and Rebecca and Rachel all had to cry out to God for a child. And Isaac went 20 years after marriage with Rebecca and couldn't have a baby. And some of you here this morning in that same problem say, Lord, we want to have a baby. We've been trying for 2-3 years. We want to have a baby. Look, I hear your answers. Oh, son of my prayers, you've come and answered a prayer. That's an amazing thing. God lets you push on that door of praying so you learn how to to know him and love him and find out our great dependence on him. O son of my vows, do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. And she says, son, stay sexually pure. Stay sexually pure. Even rank unbelievers who are total materialists like Napoleon Hill, who wrote Think and Grow Rich, and he said, he's made how many millionaires back in the years when millions were bucks? And he said, I've made many, many millionaires, and I could have made other men millionaires, but for one thing, they chased women. And they took their strength and their mind off the goals. I could have made them rich men and some men billionaires. But he said they wouldn't do it because they're chasing women. And she comes right to it. Hey, 3,000 years ago, he says, no, look, get your wife, be satisfied with her, and otherwise you'll ruin your kingdom and you'll ruin your own administration. It's not right. So she just lays it right out before him. Then she goes on to something else. It's not for kings, O Lemuel. Can't you just hear mom saying this? Now look, honey, let me just share something with you here. Maybe she had her finger going like this. Yeah, ma, glunk, 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 driving that nail, glunk, glunk, glunk. Now look, honey, she says, it's not for kings. Did she say, Lem? Now listen, Lem, I don't know if she said that. It's not for kings, O Lemuel, not for kings to drink wine, nor for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what the law decrees and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Can you imagine that? She says, you can't get going to keggers. You're not going to beer bust. Don't get hung up in this alcohol because you won't be able to help others like you should in your position of responsibility. She didn't say because you might go to jail, you might ruin your reputation, your wife might leave you. She said, you can't do for others what you could do if you start getting hooked on alcohol. 25,000 people or more each year are killed on our roads because of alcohol-related driving. We had 100 casualties in this Gulf War. I wonder how America would have felt if we had 25,000 body bags coming home. And yet we don't hear much about this every day, you see, and yet it's happening. Every state that has raised the drinking age from 18 to 21 have found up to 31% decrease in the death of young people 18, 19, and 20 years of age. Now, I'm going to be flat honest with you. I'm going to be honest with God's word and honest with you. I cannot prove to you from the Bible that you can't have a glass of wine or you can't have a glass of beer. I can't prove that. It would permit it. I can prove to you that you are totally responsible for when you do that. Will this influence your children? Can they handle alcohol? What's the push and the press in the crowd at high school? Where do they go after the football game and after the Pizza Hut? Then where? Huh? Well, the greatest source, if any of our young people or any, when you read in the paper, if someone dies between the ages of 16 and 22, chalk it off, the first cause is alcohol and driving. Here we are coming up to May again, graduation parties. Everyone's got their fingers crossed because they're so tired of stripping teenage bodies off telephone poles. Now, it's your responsibility. If you're going to use alcohol, you're responsible to love all brothers and to consider what your influence will do on you, your children, your family, and everybody else. Other people's children. You're going to drive half-stoned, blood level up, 0.10 or something. I think it's 9 or 10 is legal here, I forget. But she says, not for you, King. Your responsibilities are too great to mess around with this stuff. Other people aren't going to get their due justice. And she says, Mom talking now. Mom heard rightly. Now, listen to this. She goes on, it seems like a contradiction. Give beer to those who are perishing. Whoa, 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 a kegger coming up. No, no. Wine to those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Wait a minute. The beginning line tells you about what it's all about. Give beer to those who are perishing. They didn't have any shock treatment. They didn't have any medicine. They didn't have any tranquilizers. Here's somebody that's dying. Someone's been run through with a sword. Someone's going out to be crucified. This is why the ladies in Jerusalem came to our Lord, and there was a group of ladies in Jerusalem that had drugged wine available to those poor felons going out to be crucified outside of Jerusalem. And when our Lord was being led out, they ran out, and it says in Scripture that he received a cup of drugged wine, and when he tasted it, he wouldn't drink it because he did not want his mind fogged in the sufferings he would pay for you and me. And so he says, sure, use wine for some poor soul. He's dying. Give him something. Here's somebody in clinical depression. Can't get him out of it. We don't have shock treatments. Try him on a little wine. Paul's uses the same thing in Timothy. He says, Timothy, take a little bit of wine for your stomach's sake. Medicine. and thine often infirmities. And you know, I've always asked the question, so have you, we believe in God's healing. Why didn't Paul pray for his intestine and just get him healed and never mind that stuff? I don't know. All I know is there's a medicinal use of wine. He says, take this, maybe he had a spastic bowel or something, and it helped him, and that was medicinal use. So I share that with you. And so if those days they didn't have anything to work with, get this man out of depression, give him some wine, get him happy, try and get the thing off dead center. So she gave some medical advice to him as well. Verse 8, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. That's got to refer, among other things, abortion. Little baby in the womb can't speak for himself. And I want you to know, if you haven't, that Dr. Lejeune from Paris, France, was flown into a very, very important case, and you may not have heard about it, in Morristown, New Jersey. And just in brief, this guy got his girl pregnant. He wanted to marry her. And she said, no. He said, well, give me the baby. I'll raise the baby. She said, no, I'm going to get an abortion. He said, no way. And so he chained himself with 11 others to the clinic. They came and arrested him. He pleaded guilty to trespassing. But the important and unique thing about this, if you're not up on it, is that for the first time in all our court trials in this thing, don't be dissuaded now, is that they permitted, Judge Michael Noonan permitted evidence to be given on when is a person, which has been kept out of legal court talk. Now it's in Morristown, New Jersey, and they will go all the way to the Supreme Court. And Dr. Lejeune, who is the world's famous man on studying genes, blue genes, faded genes, all those other genes, he is going to and did testify in court and said, now look, in 1973 when Roe versus Wade was done, we didn't have what we have today. We now have the equipment that tells us when a male cell and a female cell come together, all the chromosomes and all the genes that will ever be in a human being are there. And furthermore, there is another creature on the face of this earth who has the genetic structure of a human being. None. Therefore, now that he can prove scientifically that that first cell, united by two, that becomes one, has all the genes and all the chromosomes, is totally and truly human at the first cell at conception. You say, big deal, the Bible teaches that. I know that, but you couldn't introduce that as legal evidence into a court, which you now can. The man's name is Alec Lose, and and Dr. Jerome Lejeune will be there as a expert witness, along with Dr. Bernard Nathanson, whom many of you are familiar with. Now speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly and defend the rights of the poor and the needy. That's Mom's advice to any of you who get in places of any kind of influence, all right? Some more and some less. Now, Mom, Queen Mother Mom, spends one-third of this chapter telling him how to be a king and two-thirds of the chapter telling him what to marry, not whom to marry, what to marry. So he's going to marry a woman. Yeah, he's going to marry a woman. Turn the page. I have to. If you got the right Bible, that's page 1033. The rest of you will just have to pray for you. All right. Now, here we come to the nobility of women, the nobility of a mother. Now, this is not Superwoman here. It may sound like it, but this is the character of women. You can't, now, once in a while, a lady can do all this stuff. She's gangbusters. But as you relate to this, see these characters in your life. This is the kind of character that the woman who fears the Lord and loves him is to have in her life. And God says, this is good stuff. Not TNT Channel 33. All the good stuff is right here. Listen. She begins and says, Lemuel, a wife of noble character, who can find her? Not that she's not out there, but boy, you want to look for her. She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her. Some time ago, I had a fireman talking to me, and he said, you ought to see some of the guys down the house. One man's nervous about his wife cheating on him. 3 days on and 3 nights on, 3 days, 3 nights off. That means he can't leave the firehouse. And when the cat's away, the mice can play, see? And he's phoning home. She's not there. He's phoning again. She's not there. Where were you? I called you, weren't there. I went shopping. Yeah, I've heard that. Where were you? all the time, phoning, nervous. His heart cannot safely trust in her. He's going crazy. Faithfulness, sexual purity, trust. This kind of a woman is what God loves. The heart of her husband can faithfully trust in her. And when he goes on his business trips, the heart of the wife can faithfully trust in him. Now, I don't mean some shacky town place. I'm saying a lot of barflies hang out in the best hotels, too. Her heart can safely trust in him, men, because your heart can safely trust in her. Never mind this double standard. You can cheat and she can't. That is a bunch of baloney from the pit. The heart of the husband faithfully trusts in his wife and lacks nothing of real value. All right? He lacks nothing of real value, which means that what he earns by work, she will multiply by economy. All right? She brings him good and not harm all the days of her life. She encourages. She exhorts him. She might even correct him in the proper spirit. That she prays for him. She backs him. She's sympathetic. All these things. She brings him good and not harm all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. Amazing. Aggie Stratman right down here in the front row. Just blew me away a week or two ago. They went to visit their kids out in Illinois. And she works with her hands. I mean, this woman works with her hands. What's she doing here? Well, she does a lot of things. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. Now, we're not into collecting wool and stuff. We got different jobs you girls can do today. She said she was visiting her kids, and when they went out to visit, her daughter said, "Boy, we really love to have a table saw, you know, kind of a saw." And I said, she wants a table saw. I said, "What's she doing with a table saw?" "Well, she makes a lot of stuff." I said, "A woman?" She says, "Yeah." I can't even make a sandbox. That's about the maximum of my ability. "Jim, you're laughing. I'll cut that out." Jim will cut that out. "Jim can make anything. I can't make anything. I can make trouble, Jim." She says, "Yeah, she can do all this woodwork. Tremendous ladies." But that's not where it's really at. She came to me, her eyes were this big. She said, on the way home, they said, "Well, let's just pray about it." On the way home from Illinois, they pull off the interstate, and they're lying on the side of the road. It's a table saw. No lie, they're right here. Brand new. Fell off a truck. I mean, they picked it up. In 2 hours, they got a table saw from heaven. True? Man, I've heard about manna from heaven, but table saws, look out. You better put your helmet on. Isn't that marvelous? You know, God didn't give me the saw. I'd say, "What's this thing?" He gave it to their daughter because she knows what to do with it. She labors with her hand. It's marvelous. Girls, you just blow me away. The way you paint and do things, it's just tremendous. Keep it up. Marvelous. God loves that. That's macrame, whatever you do. That's all past history now, but buggy bears and all that kind of stuff. Okay. Verse 14. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. Man, she watches Cubs. She watches Safeway. She watches Albertsons. Who's got the sales? Chicken on for 39 a pound. She's over there, man. 10 pounds, it goes in the freezer. Why not? And she doesn't go 14 miles over here to make a save 6 cents because you're going to lose it on gas coming back. What she does, she waits till she goes to aerobics on Thursday morning and stops at Cubs on the way home and saves money. Amen, ladies? Amen. All right, now watch this. Amen, men?
Amen.
A little bit louder, yes. She brings her food from afar. She's out in the country. She sees eggs are on sale. She brings back 3 dozen. She knows how to shop. Food's an important item, expensive item. And she knows how to make it happen. She brings her food from afar. She's like a merchant person. She knows to go to TJ Maxx. She goes to the Half Price store. She goes to Marshall's. She's not down to Dillard's all day. She reads Dillard's ads, but she shops at Half Price. Someone says, "TJ who?" That's a store. Half price what? Sure. She knows how to make leftovers happen. Don't laugh. I know a lot of you people. I watch you. I got scripture for this. You're laughing. Just keep laughing. You're digging your own grave because I got Bible on this. You want to know what it is? You bet. You don't think I'm going to escape, let you escape without giving that verse. After the feeding of the 5,000. Aha, the Lord says, gather up the fragments that remain that nothing be wasted. Whoa. Peter looks at John. John looks at Matthew. Matthew looks at Thomas. What are we going to eat today, Lord? He says, we have some miraculous leftovers from yesterday. They gathered 12 baskets, one for each apostle, and he had his munchies for 2 days. So the next time Mom puts something back on the table, don't say, what are we going to eat that stuff for? Because if it were good enough for the apostles, it's good enough for you. After all, you aspiring spiritual giants, starting with leftovers. And if you're in Bangladesh, you'd be very grateful. Let's be grateful, grateful people. If kids aren't eating all that's on their plate, give them smaller servings. Don't waste it. Right? Teach them that. Every child should taste everything. I can't stand lima beans. A teaspoon will help you to learn that life is not always what you want it to be. That's right. Your children should develop a taste or a tolerance, at least, for everything you serve. Liver is not my favorite meat, and I avoided it whenever I could until I learned of its food value, and then I learned it had a lot of cholesterol in it, so I avoided it. But I learned to like it, quote, quote. I learned to like it. And listen, the first thing that hits your children's mouth in this world is food. True, true. Now, it's another sermon, but don't think food, small time, stop. I got a sermon which I can't preach now, on, but I feel it coming on. That's why we really need to have 4-hour services. We really do. But you take the lentil soup ripoff, a la Esau, take the big Garden of Eden scam with the fruit of the tree. Take the big demonic shove in the testings of our Savior, turn these stones into bread. And you'll understand how important it is to control the appetite which is God-given for food and to develop it so that kids get a teaspoon of the worst taste and stuff they may think, whether it's sweet peas or carrots or whatever. You get a teaspoon. And if they keep in their mouth for 10 minutes, they keep in their mouth for 10 minutes. Give them a glass of milk, they'll help it down. Because life, you say, well, why make junior? Don't have 2 calories and a teaspoon apiece. Because it's bigger than food. It's how do you respond to what you don't like? That's the lesson. With gratitude. Okay. Now I feel better since I got that off my chest. I feel much better. Confessions of a man who would not eat the crusts of bread, but rather ripped off all along the end. And when my father wasn't looking, stuffed it on the backside of my plate. And my mother, in cahoots with my conspiracy, never confessed to him as she lifted the plate. Ha-ha, who has left the bread crusts? Little Elmer, that's who. And she just said, come hither, thither. Eat thou this or stay in. She didn't do that. She should have. She's too chicken. It would make me help face life a little bit better. All right? I kid thee not. Let's take a look at this woman, marvelous lady that she is. Verse 15. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. You say, well, no wonder she's so efficient. She's got servant girls. If I had some servants around here, I could do all this stuff. Whoa, 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 you got a washer dryer, baby. Them's your servants. You got a vacuum cleaner. You don't go around yourself picking up all those things. Think of a husband making you do that all over the floor. Some even got little handy ones that go zing just for crumbs. Got micro ovens, electric mixers. I remember my mother standing there, she had to actually do this. Can you imagine doing this? To beat an egg up and make frothy wath or whatever it was? Now, you had servants, you got servants, they saved you a lot of time. The point is, what did you do with your time? I'm so busy. I know you are. But you have, and I have, time-saving devices. We'd saved our time, and then we got busy on something else. Well, I can't turn that back. I feel like Dr. Tozer, sometimes I was dragged kicking and screaming into the 20th century. I remember back to more idyllic days when I was actually bored on Sunday afternoon with nothing to do. And you just waited for the wind to blow the trees or do something. And it was such a quiet time and quiet all over the neighborhood. Now it sounds like the Indianapolis 500. And the kids got those things and they'll snarl them motorbikes and everything else going on. So I'm going to live in 1991. I'm not going to try and go back and be a recluse. Okay? That's how it goes. I want to live in the world God's given me. We've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Now look, she gets up while it's still dark, and that's my wife. I hate to go to bed, and I hate to get up. And that's a tough position to be in. At 10:30, my wife turns into a pumpkin. Her eyes are starting to go at half mast, and in another 5 minutes, there'll be a full mast. And first of all, then my eyes are starting to open and say, where's the party? Where are we going, you know? So I might be up till 12 or 1 and sometimes 2 o'clock, because that's where my body clock is. I wish it had turned around, and we have to make some adjustments. And she gets out of bed so quietly, I don't even know she's gone. She just kind of rises like a resurrection, goes right on out straight. And so I don't ever set the clock, because my wife's my clock. If she ever doesn't go off, I'm late everywhere. Okay. Some adjustments. She gets up before dark. She's alive, moving. You come down, there's a note on the table, you know, and going off to aerobics, or don't forget to call Jimmy, and just great. Mothers get up sometimes, and there's the half of the banana and the cereal, and the little love note, XOXO, and have a nice day. Whoa, man, that's what a way to start the day. Great. Okay, this is a woman's really moving on here. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. Man, she's got some administrative skills. She considers a field and buys it. Well, now she's into real estate. She considers a field and buys it out of her earnings. Whoa, she's making bucks here. And your wife is working, she's earning some money. I hope she gets some earnings from what she earned, guys. She considers a field and buys it. You mean I'm going to let my wife get into investment business? You might. She earns some bucks and she's looking at a field. She wants to buy it. She sees the possibility of gain. Proper gain. I love, let me tell you something, I read this. Coleridge, the great poet, he said of women, take their first advice, but not their second. Now you think on that. Ladies, stay with me on this. And men, do you understand that? Take their first advice, but not their second. Just for the kicks, how many women think they understand that? Oh, come on, girls. All right, how many men think they understand it? Well, that's why your marriages are in problems. Nobody understands anybody here this morning. He means that the woman's first answer will in all likelihood be intuitive. And he said once to a woman, she gave him some advice, and then she went on to say, now, I think the reason for that is, and Coleridge said, please, ma'am, thank you so much. Let me find out the reasons. He trusted her intuitiveness, but he didn't trust her reasoning powers. So the woman's first answer, no, don't get mad. Don't get mad. Just smile. She may reason, but your higher powers across the board, ladies, are the intuitiveness, which throws a reasoning man crazy. What's your reason for that? I don't know, I just feel that way. I know, but what's your reason? I know, I just know that's the way it should be. I know, but when? Oh, give me a reason. No reason. I just feel that way. Ah, what am I going to do with this lady? But it means there's something in a woman. She looks at the field and says, this will fly. This will make money. Yeah, buy that. It's not the right location. It'll fly. Don't worry. I can give you 4 reasons why you shouldn't buy it. It'll fly. It's your money, baby. You buy it. But she has some money from her earnings. She had the right to use it. She bought the land. She's not dumbbell. Look what she does. She considers a field and buys it out of her earnings. Then she goes into the vineyard business. She says, aha, I'm not buying this land to put up a skyscraper. I'm going to go into the vineyard business. And she plants vineyards in it, grapes. Now she's into the winemaking business, if you can believe that. Plus real estate. You can't hold this girl down. She's got some business abilities. She sets about her work vigorously. She better. Her arms are strong for her task. You think planting a vineyard is like playing tiddlywinks? She's out there. She's strong. What does she do? Why, listen, she's on her way to aerobics class. She's walking the mall. Do you realize that there's a Walk the Mall Association of America with 3,000 members? People, listen, ladies, you got to do some walking. You got to do something. You just can't be there and vegetate. Men, too. Any kind of walking by anybody is so needful for you, so helpful for you. Everybody just increases their health, lessens the opportunities for heart attacks, high blood pressure, and everything, especially in the age in which we live. And she's strong with her arms. And women, get into aerobics here or some other place. Walk the mall. Push the baby with the stroller. Take that walk every day, every other day at least. And I just try to fight to get over here. I got my own little regime and put my little band music on. The guys see me out there jumping around. And I feel so good when I do that twice a week, three very seldom. But if I get in two a week, I'd like to, but it just doesn't happen that way. And I come over and it makes me feel so much better when I'm done. I really do. And God intended that. Back in our Lord's day, you walked everywhere you went anyway. You got your exercise walking then. The apostles weren't hailing down yellow cabs, you know. They're walking to the next place. Our Lord walked all over the place. The only time we ever heard he rode was when he was either in a boat and went across the lake or he was on a donkey going to his death. So other than that, he walked. And there's something to be told and talked and taught by such a thing. So ladies, no pain, no gain. And same for men. It's an absolute necessity, and the Lord loves it. Now watch. She sees that her trading is profitable. Now she's going to the stock market. And her lamp does not go at night. She's planning it. She's got administrative value. My wife has that. She's got a list of what she's going to do tomorrow. I got a list that tells me what the next day is. What is tomorrow? Oh, Wednesday. That's my list. She says, all right. She administrates well. And she knows what she's doing. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. Well, they don't have that. Now we don't do wool weaving, that type of thing. We have other things. And she's not just me, thee. She opens her arms to the poor. She helps the Open Door Mission. She's down AAA Pregnancy Center. She's got an interest that way. So everybody can't do all of this, but where are you fitting in, you see? And extends her hands to the needy. She bakes food and they'll go down to the Open Door Mission. Or she hears that someone's sick at home and they've just had a new baby and mom and dad can't be here from her side. They run some food over. I'm so grateful for that kind of ministry that goes on all the time in this church, of the meals brought into the sick and the newly childed ones. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. They are warm clothing. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen. Now look what she's doing. She's getting to bedspreads. I mean, you can't hold this lady down. Bedspreads. My wife and I visited out with the Amish people 2 summers ago, and it was an experience. Horse and buggies, that's it, folks. No electricity in the home, lamps, and suspenders and the big hats. I mean, it was like stepping back 100 years. And all plowing by horse and handheld plow. The most they can do is maybe 80 to 100 acres. A big milking operation. I mean, incredible. And these ladies, don't ask me how, they sit by that lamp. Now, it's a high-powered lamp, but it's still a lamp. And they sew the most marvelous bedspreads you have ever seen by hand. I think they'd lose their eyesight, frankly. Every stitch is incredible. They may sell them, bring them down the store. They may go from anywhere from $400 to $1,000. Incredible. Now, that's a passing art, except in a few people. But I encourage you, ladies, don't be afraid to learn to do something with your hands and to teach your daughters that as a fading art. All right? What else does she do? Now, the house has gone to pot, right? Where's her husband all this? Is he lost in the shuffle? I mean, is he history? I mean, who is he? Mr. Who? Now, the reverse of that was when Nancy and I met Mrs. Tozer, Dr. Tozer's wife. And when the first time we met her, she said to my wife, I'm Mrs. Tozer, and nobody knows her. All right? And it was just about true. Dr. Tozer was world known. What about this woman's husband? He's a wimp at home vacuuming. Wrong. Her husband is respected at the city gate. That's where the elders met. He was an elderman. He was a councilman for the whole town, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. So we got, tell me, do we need the NOW organization? Listen, if the liberated woman was here 3,000 years ago, you got two careers in the same house. And it's going okay. Let me talk about it. Now, there's a lot to be said for a woman being at home. Wonderful if it can go that way. But the Bible will not preclude, nor does it prohibit, a woman having a career and raising a family. There are some provisions for that. But she's got three jobs going now. She's in real estate, she's got vineyards, and now she's in tapestries, and she's trading off with the Phoenicians. Now, you don't do that while watching soaps, obviously. But she's made some choices. She makes linen garments and sells them. I told you, she's into tapestries and she's into cloth goods. And supplies the merchants, literally the Phoenicians, who were the world's great traders in that day, with sashes embroidered and bejeweled. She herself is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh for the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instructions in her mouth. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of soap operas, namely called idleness. Her children rise and call her blessed. Now, here, two or three things. The submitted woman is free to develop with her husband's blessing. Note the house is not up for grabs. The husband is doing a successful career in the town council. The children rise up and call her blessed. They just don't rise up and call her mommy, mommy, mommy. Nor do they rise up and call her names. They rise up and call her blessed. So I point out to you that the submitted woman is free to develop underneath her husband's blessing. I point out to you, secondly, that any woman and every woman in this room, that this woman did not blow her marriage and she didn't blow her home because of her career. She took it to the level that the marriage and the home could be healthily held together. In other words, she never put a strain on the marriage and she didn't put a strain on the family. She took it to the level that was a blessing to everybody. For some, it'll be this much. For some, it'll be that much. For others, it won't happen. Doesn't need to. This is not the woman you have to be all things of. This is the thing, as it applies to you, see it come into your life. Loving the Lord Jesus, beauty is passing, and charm is deceitful, but a woman that loves the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, this happened under the approval of her husband as a submitted wife, without endangering the marriage, without endangering the home. And that's going to take some prioritizing, it's going to take some wisdom, it's going to take some other things. It can happen, but only on those conditions. And please notice that her husband was not intimidated by the abilities of his wife. Rather, he encouraged their fulfillment to the level of strength and marriage and home. When that becomes endangered or fractured or stressed out, history, stop, no way, no, thank you and goodbye. But I'm giving room today because the Bible gives room today for the development of that. I believe in the submission of the wife, but not the submergence of the wife. And depending on skill and opportunity and how many kids are still at home, plus this, that, and the other things, these may be incorporated into the life of the woman that God approves. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, no wonder she did so well. Look what he does. He praises her. Mama. Women, you need our praise, and we need to give it. I need to praise my wife more. I don't praise her as much as I should. And bless her. And no wonder she did so well. She had the support of her husband. He praises her. He didn't say complained about her. If he thinks she ought to stay home and cut out the tapestry business and cut back 1/3, he's going to say, honey, I think the tapestry business is taking too much of our time. I want my marriage and my love to continue with you. So cut out the tapestry and stay with the real estate and the vineyards. Or whatever. Then that's what he should say to her. If she doesn't know it, he should tell her. But he praises her. Let's remember, men, if there's something we take home today, let's take home, I will praise my wife. And then the kids are going to praise mom too. You see? You know, something that's really tough here because so many marriages, about 50% or more today, are breaking up. We've got children living with one parent, right? Who's going to be the favorite parent? The guy that comes and parties with the kids all the time, they go to P&E and they go to the show and they have popcorn and they go to see the Donna Rosenblatt, and poor mom, she's left with the diapers and the food and the discipline, and she's the bad guy, he's the good guy. There's nobody to praise her except the Lord. He will. I need to pray for those single mothers and for them to understand that the Lord will praise you. And it's tough when sometimes it's the other way. Sometimes the wife is the free loader. Not often, but it can happen. And so let's us praise people wherever we can. It's such a lifting thing, all right? Now look, he praises her. Children rise up and call her blessed. She opens her mouth with wisdom, not unkindness or criticism. There may be correction given, but she opens her mouth with kindness. And again, I come back right to where we started. Many women do noble things, and you can do that, ladies, mothers, mothers-to-be. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all because you understand, Lemuel, charm is deceptive. There'd be a lot of ladies like to marry the king, Lemuel. Listen to me, Lemuel, says mom. A lot of girls would be glad to marry you. You're the king. They'll be glad to do it. They might be beautiful. They might be charming. But Lemuel, listen to me. Make sure the woman you marry fears and reveres and loves the Lord. She shall be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and please notice, and let her works bring her praise at the city's gate. She even gets to the council, the men's council that run the city. They praise her in the gate. So much for Governor Orr. And women can go right up into government and be in the gates and be praised for it, and criticized and praised. Mrs. Thatcher should be praised in the city gates. Ladies, the door is open. Not at the expense of your marriage, not at the expense of your home, not at the expense of your single girls, not at the expense of your walk with God. Purity for the man, purity for the girl. This is the woman that God will bless. Happy Mother's Day. Dear Jesus, thank you for your grace. Thank you for this chapter, Lord. We shouldn't just drag it out on Mother's Day. It should be looked at more than that. Bless every woman in here. May none be under the guilt and condemnation of 20th century values when we have your eternal values. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.